have another family type of a lesson tonight, and I saw that the outline to fill in was sent out, and there was some in the back if you want to do that. I've titled this lesson, How to Evaluate Your Son or Daughter's Workplace. Something that I've considered for quite a while. Most of you know that me and my wife were not able to have children, but God brought into our home when they were 12 years old, Candy and Kelly. And as they got older, you know, they needed a place to work because I didn't have enough money to pay for their way through college. And so it was, in one sense, God put us in a unique situation where we cared deeply about those girls, but they weren't our own flesh and blood. So we were able to experience some things and not have some. I'm sure I was blinded by a lot of things, but not have all the blinders that parents have. And I think God put us in that situation. In fact, I know he put us in that situation on purpose. I don't know all the reasons why he did that for us, but I look back on it as something that the Lord allowed me to learn some things and helped me to articulate, I think, some things that are helpful. So anyway, it's something that this topic is something that we considered quite a bit then. And then about that time, we started working with the singles in our church. And so this is a topic that I've, you know, it comes up from time to time, just working with the people in our church. So I want to just give you some ways to evaluate where your children work. I want to introduce, as an introduction, I just want to talk about two words. One, and the reason I'm using the word tonight, evaluate, and I'm using that word on purpose because sometimes when you give an evaluation, you say, oh, this is good or this is bad, people take it a different way. They think that you're just giving your opinion. An opinion is a conclusion that you and I come to without a rationale, without a set of reasons why. There's no stated out or thought out reasons. We might say it's a gut feeling. Now, all you dads out there know you can trust your gut, right? There's just something about that guy that's interested in your daughter that's just, you know, whatever. I'm somewhat teasing, but in a certain sense, if somebody says, I just don't feel right about that, what the only thing you have to go on is who the person is that's saying that. And children, if that's your parents, you know, that's kind of good enough reason. They don't really have to, in the moment, say, well, these are the reasons why. They can just say, I don't have a good feeling about that. I don't know why. So if we don't know why, we just don't feel right about something, that might be an opinion. And just like you, there's some subjects that I just have an opinion. I don't like it. Or I do like it. Why? I don't know. I can't figure out why. I've been living for 49 years and something back there somewhere is influencing me, but I can't figure out why. Of course, some people's opinion is weightier. But an evaluation is not an opinion. An evaluation is a judgment. It's a conclusion that you come to based on a standard. It's based on a criterion or a criteria. And so you've got a question about, who knows, a multitude of different items in our lives. Tonight we're going to look at a workplace. But you have a question about something. You think, okay, how can I have more than a gut feeling about this? I would like to, you know, I want to look at something. So you develop a list of what about this? What about this? How does it line up here? How does it line up here? And whatever thing that you look at, because we're human beings, that we live in a fallen world that was created by a perfect God, there's going to be, about everything you look at, there's going to be some good and some bad. But if you list them out or you think them through and say, okay, this is good, this is bad, this is really good, this is kind of bad, but it might be okay, and you list these things out, then you're much better off making a godly, well, if you're using the Bible to make this list of things, a godly biblical decision about the situation. So the issue then, or the situation you consider in relation to each criterion, and then as you conclude that, you have you have an evaluation. You've got a conclusion that you can come to, and you have some reasons for why you come to that conclusion. So tonight, I would like to just give us, just think through some questions. I'd just like to try to help you answer. And I'm not the authority, okay? We all have the Holy Spirit that can help us and confirm to us, and we'll get to that again at the end. But I'd like us to think through, how can we have more than just a gut feeling about where we let our children work? So I've come up with, six questions, six or seven questions about to think about as we look at this place, possible place of employment, and hopefully these can be helpful to us. First, and obviously, is it a lawful occupation according to the Bible? So a lawful, when we use that term lawful, we mean, does the Bible allow it? Is it allowed according to the Bible? There are some things that the Bible, a hitman is probably not, a lawful occupation. I'm using an extreme, okay? But there are things in our, there's things in our culture that are lawful in our culture that are not lawful for Christians to do. So is it, and that's the obvious one, but it's obvious, most likely our children are not going to be heading all the way toward, wondering whether those things that are directly against the Bible are to be done. But I thought it was worth mentioning. I needed you to laugh at one of my questions. All right, so then the next one. And if you have the blanks, this will make sense. How old is your child? You might be considering where your 15-year-old should work and what you think about whether your 15-year-old should work there and what you think about whether your 23 or 24-year-old should work, if they're still in your home, is going to be different. So when you're looking at this place or you're trying to help your child decide whether they should work there or not or allow them to work there or not, you have to think, how old are they? Hopefully, as they mature, they can handle more interaction with the world. That is really the big problem, right? We go out to work, and when we go out to work, we're working in the world. Almost all occupations, we're in the world. We're around the world. We're working with people in the world. We're doing, our boss is probably not saved. So that's the big danger. Like what's up here? Why do we even wonder? Well, because we live in a fallen world. And but hopefully, as our children mature, they can handle more interaction with the world. Obviously, we're not going to be, they're not going to be in our home forever. So hopefully, with all the other things we've talked about and for years, we're trying to mature them, grow them, help them with their own character, with their own discernment, to be able to grow to the place where they can make this decision themselves, and if they make a good decision, stand for the Lord where they are. But, so how old are they? But let me just remind you of this, and it's something that we all have, including myself, a problem that we all have. We all start with a higher opinion of ourselves and our children than reality. Even me. I have a higher opinion of myself than reality. You do. You think your child is a stronger Christian than he is. That's the way we are, right? I guess there might be some that think their children are the worst kids in the world, but most of the time, that's not the problem. But still, the question, how old are they? How mature are they? Is the question. All right. Then the next one, and this one takes a little more explaining, and I think we know it, but I want to take a little more time to explain it. Who will work there? Who are they, or what are they? And the fill in the blank is, are they a boy or are they a girl? Are they a young man or are they a young lady? Now, this is very important because we as Christians, we train or we rear our children to fulfill God-given roles. The world has a different idea of what a young man should become or what a young lady should become, what is just fine for a young lady to do and what is perfectly fine for a young man or for a man to do. But we don't agree with the world in that. Our job as parents is to train, and our goal is to rear our children to fulfill a God-given role. So in general terms, we're training our boys to be men. And the Bible describes, one person put these things together, and I remembered it. It's not like I go around using these terms all the time, but I think it will help us to understand a little bit. We want our young men to grow up to be men. We want our boys to grow up to be men. And what the Bible describes men doing is, one, they are, to use a word we don't use all the time, they're a lord. They're a boss. How do we know that? God gave man the responsibility in creation to have dominion over the earth. So boys are to grow up and to be able to have dominion. And that, with that dominion, is responsibility, okay? You have this to do. You have this area to work. It's your job. You're the boss. So that's one thing. Another is to be a husbandman or a farmer. God told Adam, multiply and replenish the earth. So that type of the characteristics of a farmer, of a husbandman, are ones that we would want our young men to grow up and have. As with Christ as our example, men are to be saviors. Now, I don't mean the Savior, but what did the Savior do? The Savior came to earth and he defeated the devil. He redeemed his loved ones. He fought the devil, and in that sense, he fought against evil, and our young men, we as men, it's our job to fight. It's our job to save those that God has given to us. We don't send our wives out to battle. We don't send our daughters out to battle. We go out to battle. Our sons go to protect us, to save us from evil. And so, So that's a characteristic. They are to be wise. They're to be sages, wise men. They should be girding up their mind. Many ladies are very, very smart, and that's very useful. I'm not saying that God didn't make them smart, but God calls men to be wise. The book of Proverbs is written to children, but mostly to sons, right? My son, my son, my son, over and over again, my son. Not that there's nothing for anyone else. But our men, our boys, are to grow up to be wise men. And then, and this is, again, none of these terms we go around and use, but they represent something, and that is glory bearers. And in that sense, they're the head. They're the one that is in charge. And being in charge means they take responsibility. Right? God held Adam accountable for what happened. He put the responsibility on Adam. And so we want to train our young men to be people that carry the responsibility. With the responsibility comes the glory and the shame, I suppose, right? But they're the ones that carry it. We don't put that weight on our daughters. We put that weight on our sons. Not that ladies are not at all responsible. But the men are the ones that carry that responsibility. So girls, we're talking about how we as Christians rear our children to fulfill God-given roles. Our girls, we're training them to grow up to be Christian ladies, to be a lady. And what does a lady do? In the Bible, there's a lot of things, but there's certain lists, and you'll recognize these. She keeps her home, right? She's a keeper at home. It doesn't mean she doesn't leave the house. It doesn't mean she doesn't work. The virtuous woman had business ventures and all that. But the description that we see in the Bible is a keeper at home. She raises her children. We train our girls to raise children, to keep the home, to help their husband. God made Eve to be a help that was perfectly matched with Adam. And God has made a man and a woman to work together, and the woman helps the man do all those manly things that we talked about. So we train our children to be Christian ladies. And the first of those is to keep their home, to raise their children, to help their husband. And in Christianity, we expect girls to live under the protection and leadership of their dad until they are protected and led by their husband. There are exceptions, there's strange things, but normally a girl is under her father's authority and he takes her hand and gives it to her husband in marriage. It's just a clean, beautiful transfer of responsibility. That's what we believe as Christians. That's what we're training our young men and our ladies to be. So, if that's what we're training them for, we want to, and we're looking at where they're going to work, is the place that they're thinking of going to work going to help that or hurt that? Maybe it won't help or hurt. Does it fit that? Does it not fit that? I mean, is she going to, you know, ROTC? Okay, does that fit? So, is he going to, some of the best cooks in the world are men, but right, Mr. Wright? But is he going to the cupcake making seminar with all the other girls? No. So anyway, some places may be okay for a boy to work at or for a girl to work at. It might be fine for either a boy or a girl to work at, but they might be not necessarily good. It might be fine for a girl to work there and probably not a great idea for a guy to work there. Or it might be fine for a guy to work there and maybe not so great idea for a girl to work there. We as Christians believe, and this is just one of the places where it shows up, that God made us male and female. He made us different. And it comes down to every part in our lives, including this one. So our questions. Is it lawful? Is it lawful biblically? Who will work there? Or how old is your child? How mature are they? Who will work there? Is it a good place for a boy to work at or a girl or either or one or the other? Then the next question would be, who else works there? Who else works there? So as we think about who else works there, we don't need names and addresses and all of that type of thing. But we think about, okay, who else works there? How much influence will those other people have? When your child goes to work there, and this would have to do with how mature they are, how old they are, but how much influence will the people that they work with have? And what kind of influence will they have? I mean, will they influence some, they might be a hard-working man. Your son goes to work with a man and he's not saved. Maybe he lets some cuss words go. Are those cuss words going to influence your son? Yeah, they are. But he's going to train your son to work harder than he's ever worked in his life. That's good. So we got a bad and a good. You have a decision to make, don't you? I'm not going to say what's right and what's wrong. There's all these other things that have to go with it. But how much influence will they have? What kind of influence? Okay? So, or maybe we should ask first, what kind of influence and how much of that kind of influence will they have? Will it be a lot of influence in a good area and a little bit of influence in a bad area? That's something you have to think through. Come up with an idea. How many co-workers will there be? How many co-workers? We're still thinking about who else works there. The number of co-workers. Will there be no co-workers? You say, oh, that's the perfect perfect thing. Just send them out there with a lawnmower and they don't see anybody. That's pretty good. But there's even dangers of working all by yourself. Because I know teenagers, I know myself as a teenager, I love to stick stuff in my ears, right? Listen to things. there's nothing wrong with listening to good music, good, you know, books on tape or whatever. There's something to be said, though, for just as a rabbit trail, and I'll come back quickly, just being silent. Not having to have every moment of your day filled with noise of some sort. Sometimes teenagers, they're not ready to just give, what do we want to say, whatever the major influence is, but the Holy Spirit, any space to be able to talk to them. There's got to be music, even if it's Christian music. There's got to be something going in their lives at all times. So that's a rabbit trail, because no work buddies is probably not that bad, but it is something to think of. Is there a few? So just a few people there? Is there a ton? Is it the teen hangout workplace? Is it Shelton fireworks? I'm just saying. I'm not saying it's evil to work there, but is it White Castle? You know, is it, who knows? Is it when I was young, and I don't know if they still do this, but is it corn detasseling? Is it a bunch of 14 to 17 year olds on a bus for an hour going out to the middle of the cornfields and whatever? That was, what is it? Is it the teen hangout? It's a question to ask, right? It's not going to say that it's, the answer is, answer by itself is not saying this, don't do that. But you have to consider it. You have to consider that with everything else. Will they be working with others, or will they be on their own? Is it something where, you know, there's 16 people there, but they've got their job and they do it? Or they're working all day long with someone else? That's just things to consider. Who else works there? Then, the next question. What will they learn while they're there? Will there be some type of skill that they get? Will they learn a certain type of work ethic? You better believe there's places that a teenager or young person can go find to work that will let them be lazy. Not many, I don't think, because people are going to pay them money and they want something from it. But if the whole culture there is lazy, they just put up with it. Sneaking by or being, maybe not sneaking, but just not working hard. Nobody works hard, so they're not going to work hard. You don't want your kids to work in a place like that. What kind of work ethic will they be around? What kind of, will they learn to flip hamburgers? Is that a bad skill? Not necessarily. I don't know how much you know. I learned to drop battered fish. Yep. And to clean the fryer or filter the fryers. Oh yes. I had a distinct aroma for about 6 months of my life. Ah, nasty. But they got good food there. That yellow and blue building. But anyway, what kind of a skill will they have? What type of work ethic will they be in the middle of? Will their philosophy be influenced at this place? Will their worldview, the way they look at the world, will that be influenced there? Will what they learn there be different from what you taught them? And how much different will it be? How much different will what they learn, what they experience be from what you've taught them? You've spent 15, 16, 17, 18, 20, 21 years training them, putting them in a certain direction. How different is this work environment going to be from where you've been pointing them? How much different? Will it just be that they get this new skill that, or will it be that they get a new skill that they can use later? You know, they're going to go and they're going to learn to build cabinets, sand, wood, whatever. Or is it going to be something like dropping battered fish that I don't do very much anymore, and it's not necessarily that useful to me? So is it a different skill that can or can be discarded later or should be discarded later? How consequential is the difference? Okay, so you're going to let them go work somewhere and it's different. What will be the consequences of lengthy exposure to that difference. You know, are they going to learn to like fish and you don't like fish? You know, how consequential is that? Or will it be something more serious than that? So, what will they learn while they're there? And not just the positives, what are the possible negatives that they will learn or be influenced by while they're there? The next question, what's the working environment? What's the working environment? Is there entertainment there? You say, why would there be entertainment there? I don't know. Maybe they're standing at the service desk at the muffler shop, and there's a television on for 8 hours there. I mean, I've sold enough candy in muffler shops to know that there's always a television. You know, you could catch, I mean, if the same channel was on between muffler shop to muffler shop, you could see what the news was. I don't remember doing that. I made that up. I mean, catching the news. I did watch the TV, for sure. And if I did that, just selling candy, right? If it's on the whole time in the place where your kid is working, that's something to consider. What kind of music is there? Now, I understand that there was not the world's worst music, but not music that I grew up listening to in the dining room at Long John Silver's. I never heard it. All I heard was the fryer going and the exhaust fans going. I was a cook in the back. But somebody else who worked a cash register would have been hearing that music. You work at Jewel, you're going to hear that. I mean, I hear the music when I go shopping. You work at Jewel, you're going to hear it for the whole time that you're working there. Is that good or bad? You know your children. If they've got a problem with music, maybe it's not a good spot for them. You know their maturity level, right? So what kind of entertainment will be there? What music will be there? Other things about the working environment. What about other people's? And maybe it's like, well, the company doesn't play music or have stuff, but they let the workers play music. What kind of music are they going to be around, whether it's company or other workers, other people's music and entertainment? The next question, how obvious are the contrasts with Christianity? I think this is something to consider, and I'll explain it a bit. So if they're going out to work in the world, they're not working in Christianity, right? So there's going to be differences. How obvious are those differences? If they're really obvious, that place is less dangerous to your children than the place that the contrasts aren't as obvious. You've trained your some things, your children are mature enough and they know that's wrong. Some things, it's not so easy to figure out yet. So if you put them in a place where they're going to be hearing a lot of things that is not so easy to figure out yet, that's a dangerous place for your children to work, as opposed to a place where they know there's a problem there. So the more subtle the contrast is, the more dangerous the workplace. And then what experiences have others had? Your child is not the first to think that this place is a good place to work. They're not the first. What experience? Who else has worked there? Who else's children has worked there? Maybe you don't know anybody. Maybe your pastor remembers somebody 10 years ago that worked there. Maybe your parents. You have other friends. I mean, we have a church. Why do we have a church for? To encourage and help one another. Besides the pastors, you have other members in the church. You say, hey, I'm thinking about this place for my daughter. I'm thinking about this place for my son. If it comes to that, I mean, it might be so clearly obvious you don't need people's help. But it wouldn't hurt to try. So what other experiences? What experiences have others had? This could be hard to track down sometimes. But other parents might be able to help. Pastors' wives might be able to help. Christians from the previous generation might be able to help. The people that won't be able to help is your child's friends. They have as much wisdom, even if they do have experience, as your child does. So, all right, now I want to give an example. I picked this example for a few different reasons. One is I thought it was a great place to work when I was younger. Okay, not that I would work there, but looking at this situation, it has a lot that looks to be desired. But as I saw how it affected people that worked there, I was like, why is that? That doesn't make sense. Or does it? And it caused me to look at it more. Caused me maybe to think of some of these questions. Like, what's going on there? Why does this place that seems harmless have these other types of results in people's lives? And I want to be clear. I'm not condemning anybody who works or whose children work in one of these places. As I said, many years I thought it would be an ideal place. I thought it would be a great place for Candy or Kelly to work. But briefly, and I'm just going to hurry through because we already talked about these questions. Briefly, I'd like to subject child care services to these questions. Let's just think about it quickly. Is it lawful to help people care for their children? Yeah, of course it is. How old are you, or how old is your child? Well, if you have already had experience of training children biblically, you would be less influenced by working in this place. But if your child has only heard, but never put into practice how to biblically rear children, it would be much more difficult on them. So age, experience. Who will work there? Well, probably girls. I don't know if they even, you know, maybe they take guys, but probably girls will work there. But let's think about this. We don't train our girls to fight as much as we train our boys to fight. We expect our girls to be under their man's, whether it's their father or their husband's protection. All right, so probably girls, and girls aren't trained to fight. Not that they don't have to fight, but they're not trained so much. Who else works there? Okay, so we think about who else works in this place. One question about who else works there is, how much influence will they have? Well, I would say the influence that the others that are there would depend on how good they are at their current job. But the question is, being good at that job is different than what we've trained our children to do, our daughters to do, at their job. So you're gonna get influenced by the people that are good at doing what you don't want your children to do. What kind of influence will they have? Well, if they're good at it, they'll have a lot. The number of coworkers. I don't think there'd be none, but I suspect it's not a, you know, it's not a hangout type place. Will they work with others or will they be on their own? Well, I'm quite sure, you know, they're not going to be totally by themselves. So they're going to be working with other people. All right, then, what will they learn while they're there? What kind of skill will they get? What kind of work ethic? What philosophy? I can imagine it'd be quite demanding. I can imagine it'd be pretty hard work dealing with other people's children for hours on end, especially other people's children who would be in a wide range of self-discipline. So it's probably very hard. It's probably good, hard work. What about philosophy? I'm quite sure that the world's daycare centers are going to employ the world's philosophy of child training. And I would guess that they will want to train the people that work there by the best that the world can offer. I'm sure that people who work there will get lots of practice putting the world's methods to work. And then the question is, how consequential is that? How consequential is what they will learn? Well, child rearing strikes at the heart of what Christian ladies are being prepared to do. Our young ladies will be the mothers of the next generations of Christians, if they are Christians. And here, in these places, they are trained in the opposite ways before they even get a chance to try to do it right. And the most recent practice and experience that they will have when they rear your grandchildren will be from the world and not from you. What is the work environment? What kind of entertainment? Well, I'm just going to ask a rhetorical question. Do you think the world's child care centers would use the world's entertainment to help calm and care for the world's children? I think so. Maybe I'm wrong. What about music? Do you think the world's child care centers would use the world's music to help calm and care for the world's children? I think probably so. What about other people's entertainment music? Will the Christian who works at that spot be able to pick the entertainment, the games, the music? Maybe. Maybe it's their turn to pick. But who will pick the list that they can pick from? Next question. How obvious are the contrasts with Christianity? My fear is, even though some people have responded in, yeah, my fear is that the contrasts are subtle. Child care centers do have to keep control of the children that are there. There will be a few things mixed in that Christians would agree with. Enough to be fooled by it. Especially if they've not had the experience of doing it right. What experiences have others had? I would say the most notable results I've seen are bad. I've talked with Mrs. Dameron about this. Many young mothers are very lost about how they should train their own children who have this work environment in their background. And even young ladies that don't even have children yet, very influenced by the feminist mindset of this generation. So, I went quickly through that and didn't want to harp on it, because I'm not here to say don't work there. But it's an example of a place with these questions applied to it. And what are the questions? Is it a lawful occupation according to the Bible? How old is your child? Who will work there? And now we're not thinking about that. We're thinking about whatever thing your son or daughter has come and said, or you're thinking about this. Who will work there? Is it a place where your son is going to work, or a place where your daughter is going to work? Who else works there? What will they learn while they're there? What is the environment like where they work, where they will work? How obvious are the contrasts with Christianity? What experiences have others had? And there might be more. Okay? But when we take this list and we compare a place to it, now we're not going off of a gut feeling. Now we don't have this loose, oh, I don't think so. We have, well, this, it's okay here, it's good 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 here, but it's bad here, and this bad is way worse than everything else. Or this bad is something that you're just going to have to watch out for, and me and you, we're going to talk from week to week about this area because we know that this is something that we got to watch out for. That's what we're doing. You know, we're trying to help them grow. They will have a job in the world somewhere. Help them find a good one. Help them grow as they work in the world. So, just to conclude, and it's interesting that Pastor Dameron has been mentioning, actually this last Sunday, he taught on Christian soul liberty. If you've been here for 30, 40 years, you might think that I just got up and said, nobody should ever work at child care services. And that if your child works there, you're an awful, lousy person. Get them out of there as soon as possible. That would be some of the feelings that you might have gotten. I'm not saying that. We believe in soul liberty, in Christian soul liberty. I can't tell you where you should work or let your children work. But I have a soul too. And I wouldn't be a good pastor if I didn't tell you what I've learned and tried to teach you how I learned it. Consider the effects on yourself. Make an evaluation yourself on your children, on your wife, and then make a biblical evaluation of it. You are the one that's free to evaluate based on the Bible and make a decision. But you are not free to do whatever you want without thinking biblically about it. Now, I can't force you to do that, but the Holy Spirit, the Bible doesn't give you that liberty. You're free to evaluate it biblically. You're not free to just do whatever you want. It's not my responsibility, I don't think, to check in with you. I'm not going to come to you and say, so what do you think of my lesson? You know, that's not my responsibility. My responsibility is just to tell you what I've learned, to try to help you. At the same time, it should be perfectly normal that somebody might say, hey, I was listening to that, and I think, you know, you brought up some things that I haven't thought of. But I also thought about this. What do you think about this in this situation? It's something that we ought to be talking about. It's not something that the man behind this desk, this pulpit, makes edicts and everybody runs and does. This is not that type of a thing. I mean, I could quote the Bible and say, thou shalt not kill, and nobody should kill. But I can't say, thou shalt not work at Burger King. You know? Somebody, not me, might say, thou shalt not eat at White Castle. I can't say those things, work, okay. But we do have the Bible, and we do have these principles that we've learned, that we know. And all I've done is kind of brought them together to help you think about them. And you are responsible to do that. It shouldn't be out of the ordinary to just have a discussion about it and talk about it with people that like thinking about what the Bible says about stuff. So, all right, that is our lesson. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that it really is very practical. It doesn't just, in one sense, it's not like it just, there's certain verses in it that address every single, you know, one verse addresses one question and another verse another question. But Lord, we do understand that if we go to the Bible looking for answers, they're there for us. And whatever situation we face in our lives, in our families, if we look for what you have to say about it, we can find what you'd have us to do in this situation. Pray that you'd help us as families, as individuals, to take these thoughts and allow the Holy Spirit to use them. I tried to be out of the way as much as possible. Lord, I would like for you to be able to use what's been said and to be a help to people. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.